Right, well, I want to carry on talking about the prophetic timetable and the things we've been looking at. This is week 8 of this, so if you've missed the first 7, there's a couple of CDs over there with them all on. I'm afraid that's as much as I can do, really. I will give a brief overview of what we're doing. If I can get this thing to work. Here we go. Okay. Basically, God is revealing things today that the prophetic books of the Bible are being opened. Daniel said that in the last days, things are going to be opened up and that things that have been sealed up are going to be revealed. And I believe God is revealing a lot of things in these days for us to prepare us for what's to come. And there's fresh revelation being released. Prophetic periods of time that God is revealing are taking place. And these are taking place around the world in different ways. And in different time periods. Some people are ahead of others. Shut the door. Some people are aware of us. Deb's got a really loud voice, hasn't she? Ah, there you go. You see, I haven't got a microphone. There we go. Never mind. But there are prophetic periods of time that are being revealed that are going to take place that we need to really get a hold of because they will prepare us for what God's doing. 1 Chronicles 12:32, the sons of Issachar are men who understand the times and have knowledge of what to do. And Sue Davis prophesied this over us, that we have people here and we've got a great wealth of prophetic insight and revelation and gifts amongst us to understand what God is doing and to enable us to have knowledge of what to do in light of that. Because it's okay knowing what God's going to do, but what are we going to do? And God wants to give us that revelation. So we can be ready to move and to act decisively when God says. So we're not caught on the hop. We're not unaware of what's going to happen and what God is doing, but we're ready. Now that's sort of the picture that God gave me when I was on a fast. And it's a picture of time periods. And we've looked at various periods of time over this. And you know, at the beginning, we've looked at the whole thing of intimacy and God calling the church to intimacy. And I believe right now we're sort of about there. Angels are actually starting to gather stumbling blocks from our lives and remove stumbling blocks from the church full stop. And we can be a stumbling block if we don't surrender and submit our lives to God. And I'm sure none of us want to be a stumbling block to what God's doing. But judgment is coming to the household of God. It comes to our lives. And God is actually saying to us, this is right and that's wrong. He's actually pointing out the things in our lives. Not because he's a sort of God who's got a big stick wanting to punish us, but because he's a God who loves us and wants the best for us. And he wants us to be filled with everything that is our inheritance. And we've looked at various things of this, and there are forerunner periods where we've seen revival times in the world and around the world, different periods and different places in which have been forerunners of what God is going to do, which have just stirred people to believe. And those, I think, in Pensacola that happened, and in Toronto and various places around the world where things have actually happened like that, where the former glory of the church, there is going to be a greater glory coming. Where the early rain, there's going to be a latter rain which goes beyond that and exceeds that. But we've got to be ready, willing to do that. Now, these scriptures we've looked at, Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That happened really when Jesus first came. And then he poured out the Holy Spirit onto the church. But then the light dimmed when the church went into error and into darkness, and when the word of God was hidden from people, and when the enemy sowed in a whole load of doctrines and things into the church, which robbed the church of authority and power. And took it into the dark ages, which was best part of 700 or 800 years of darkness. God still did things during that period, but generally there was a darkness. But then light started to come again, and the Holy Spirit started to get poured out in various times through various peoples over years. And that light started to actually come back and increase. And there is going to be a period of great light for us, which is going to be a harvest of laborers. And although there's going to be darkness covering the earth, the glory of God is going to come through the church and people are going to start to get drawn to the glory of God, which is being manifested because we're called to be sons of light and the light of the world. as Jesus was when he was here. He called us to be that when he isn't, and he's left his Holy Spirit here. So we are looking to see a period of light, but also there is darkness, and there'll be a great shaking that takes place before a massive outpouring of the Holy Spirit and an end time harvest, which, you know, for me, I want to be part of that. But if I want to be part of it, then I need to be prepared to do all the things to get ready for that. And I believe that's what God is actually saying and calling us to do. Now, if we were to see 20% of Barnstable, and that's what the powers that be call Barnstable, saved, that would be around 47,000, let's say about 50,000 now, 20% of that is 9,600, or around 10,000 people. That's a lot of people who have to be equipped to be laborers for a coming harvest in the supernatural power of God. And we know that's what God's called us to do here, but that's part of the equipping of the church is going to have. But we've got to be ready. There are 20 churches together in Barnstable. That'd be about 480 each. If they're ready to receive a harvest and ready to equip them. But if they aren't, that puts the pressure on others. 10? 5? It's about 2,000 people. If there's 5 churches that are ready to receive a harvest and equip them and prepare them in the supernatural realms of the Spirit. So we need to be ready for 2,000 people at least. That puts a lot of pressure on what we're going to do with 2,000 people. Well, that's where we are right now, our site. And we've staked out that whole area with 10 stakes and put scriptures in the ground. And we've claimed that area because we believe God's given us that footprint area for what he's calling us to do. And we've seen that needs to increase as the fire of God increases. And it's moving right over top of Focus over there, who are selling things off at a fast rate, a cheap price if you need to get something cheap at the minute. I did ask them when their final sale is going to be up, and they're all going to move out. They said they don't know yet, but I'm going to keep going and asking them. Because I want all the bargains, but also we've got to be ready. And, you know, we've got to be ready and prepared, because we're going to need somewhere of that size to take thousands of people. Because if we want a couple of thousand people to be able to disciple, you know, to equip in a regional sense, that means we're going to have something that needs to take 3,000 or 4,000 people. You know, the biggest auditorium in North Devon is about 600, which is pretty small, isn't it? And it's not going to be big enough, so we're going to have to build something. So God is preparing that. And then it needs to go bigger and bigger and bigger. So we're going to need bigger buildings, more meetings. If we're going to be an ark, a supernatural resource for the area, then we're going to need to be ready. So we want that whole site to be prepared. So let's go for that. Last week we looked at the whole sense. If we're going to do that, then there has to be a transfer of wealth into the kingdom of God to enable us to fulfill the purposes of God. And, you know, there are scriptures that we looked at, Proverbs 13:22. The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Haggai 2:7. I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all the nations. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. The Lord of the angel armies is declaring that. That he's going to shake things, and it's going to release the glory and the financial blessing to be able to do what God is calling us to do. But we have to position in ourselves and be ready. So I'm summing this up. Obviously, it took me an hour last week to do this, so I'm summing it up in 5 minutes. But we have to trust in God as our total provider. We cannot be looking for the world to meet our needs. We have to see God meet our needs. We've got to stop using material things to meet our needs. Materialism, God is going to challenge in our lives. We've got to believe that it's God's desire to bless us. If we don't believe that, we're not going to be able to receive. We've got to apply biblical financial principles. We can't expect to be positioned to receive a financial transfer of wealth if we're not honoring God with what we've got right now. And God, you know, says if we're not faithful with mammon, if you like, or money, how will God trust us with even greater riches? So he's looking for that as a test, so we can believe by sowing and reaping. We need to realize that God owns everything, and we're just stewards. We don't actually own anything. We're a steward, and God wants us to be good stewards and faithful stewards. We need to renounce false doctrines and mindsets and negative words that the church has believed and hindered us in believing that God wants to bless and prepare us. We need to break generational curses of poverty over our lives. And some of those are sins of our fathers that have been visited on us that we need to break. And we need to cast out and be loose from the poverty spirit. You know, poverty mentality will keep us restricted, and God wants to set us free. So that's another representation of that prophetic timetable. And last week we looked at wealth transfer. I want to look briefly at persecution, because I believe persecution is going to take place and we need to be prepared for it. Where is it going to come from? Well, there are Nephilim spirits that are controlling world systems at the minute who are hiding. But when the light starts to shine into that darkness and starts to put the pressure on, things will start to come out. Now, it says in Matthew that, you know, when Jesus returns, it will be like in the days it was with Noah. And then there was open warfare going on the earth. And we need to be prepared for that warfare. We will look into that again. And the whole thing of Nephilim spirits I've mentioned briefly before. We'll look into it at some stage. But there is going to be a massive persecution that comes through the religious church, because there are so many demonic doctrines operating in the church at large which hinder us and stop us and have robbed us of power and authority. And when we start to challenge those doctrines, and when we start to see the light start to shine, all sorts of religious spirits will start to kick off. And if you look at the internet, don't look at the internet, but I've looked at some of it. It is a terrible place for people of the church or so-called church who accuse and criticize other moves of God. You know, it's like I've had two books posted through my letterbox in the last few weeks, basically saying that all the stuff and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are all demonic and they're all of the enemy. I've had people give me DVDs and send me emails, and some of you have had emails as well. People basically saying, ooh, this is all wrong and all this stuff. Because the enemy starts to get worried when the church starts to rise up. When we start to operate in the power of God and in the authority that God's given us, the enemy starts to get frightened. And in his fear, he starts to raise things up. And if he can get other people and other Christians to start criticizing, it causes disunity and disharmony. And so it's like, you know, my answer for a lot of those people, just look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. Yeah, that's what Gamaliel said in the New Testament time. He said, if this is not of God, it will just fall away. If it's of God, it will produce fruit. And it's like, that's what we need to be looking at. What is the fruit of what God is doing? Our lives being transformed, our lives being changed, our people being saved and healed. Well, they are, you know, and there's going to be more. But I believe there's going to be such a challenge to this. There are so many false doctrines which put the kingdom of God and the authority of God's kingdom into another time or to another people. And when you start challenging that, it really does kick religious spirits off really heavily. You know, there's a lot of stuff in the past. Oh, well, it's only the New Testament that this power of God worked, or it'll be some future 1,000 years in the future where it will be the kingdom of God rather than what God is doing now. You know, this bread and eschatology, which is study of the end times, of rescue and defeat, that Jesus was going to come and rescue a weak, pitiful, defeated church who were defeated. Now, that's just a lie. It's like, if you read the Bible, that's not going to happen. But it has been taught, and this is one of the biggest areas that stirs up controversy in the world. And particularly when you start challenging people's eschatology, it causes stink. And part of the problem a lot of people are facing around the world, and even some of the prophetic people who are hearing what God is saying, they're struggling to fit in the prophetic revelation they're receiving with their own eschatology beliefs. They're really struggling. And then when they ever poke their head above a parapet, particularly in America and Canada, and actually say, well, I'm actually thinking that this doesn't fit, they get so slated and so hammered by the sort of Christian community, so-called, that they sort of stick their heads back down. And then they try and fit in what God is saying to an eschatology which doesn't work. Jesus is coming back for a victorious church. The kingdom of God is going to be raised up. And that's really what I want to look at today. The enemy will always try and take us back to an old covenant system. The old covenant system was one country, one city, one temple. That was where God was. He wasn't anywhere else in a manifest way. Whereas in the new covenant, God is everywhere in his people. We're the temple. We don't need a temple. But if you think of what the enemy has tried to do to the church to rob it of power or authority, it's brought it to be the church equals a building or a temple somewhere. Well, it isn't. The church is a group of people called out by God in relationship in the kingdom of God. And God wants to bless us and use us in that. But the enemy will always try and actually bring it back to an old covenant system where there's a priest rather than all us being priests. All of us having access to God. And God does not want us to be separated and have a mediator between us and God. That's why Jesus came. He's the only mediator we need. We don't need another mediator. Yes, there are people with gifts and calls in the church. Great. But actually, every one of us hears God for ourselves. And that's absolutely key. Leadership in the church does not need to hear God for you. They don't. It's like you can hear God yourself. And you need to hear God yourselves. Because otherwise, all you're doing is obeying somebody else. You know, God wants to inspire and touch each of our hearts and release everyone into their personal destiny. Every single one in this room has a destiny in God to fulfill. And the enemy has tried to rob that destiny through all sorts of methods and means. And God is saying, rise up. Start to fulfill your destiny. There is a whole load of sacred cows that we're going to challenge. And God is going to challenge. And God told me to challenge. And I really don't like challenging, really. But he told me, and I went to a conference with Bill Johnson, and I think it was Jill Austin at the time, and shook for a whole day as violently as I've ever shook, because God was shaking me, telling me, you need to do what I tell you to want to do. And I was resisting because he wanted to put a sword into my hand. You know, I'm a really nice guy, you know, it's like, you know, I don't like bringing a sword, but I've been stirred into challenging some sacred cows. And I believe God is going to challenge that. And I know things will kick off as a result of that. But we've got to be prepared. If persecution comes, we need to have the answer. And the answers. Not to be, oh, where are we? We need to know what God is saying. We need to know where we fit into that. What we've been called to do. And God is calling us into that. We have to prepare for kingdom dominion. Kingdom dominion is what God's intention was from the beginning. Isaiah chapter 2:2. Now it will come about in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Now this is one of the key scriptures to understand, and this goes right throughout the Bible. And this is one of the key things that the enemy tries to challenge, because he basically tries to put this off so it's not for us. But I want to show you today that it is for us, that the mountain of the house of the Lord is talking about the kingdom of God operating through the church. The house of the Lord is the church, and it will be chief of the mountains. Mountains speak of authority. And there will be chief authority that operates through the church. And I'm not talking about political authority. I'm talking about spiritual authority in the earth. A spiritual dominion, which is over all the works of the enemy, which will bring the blessing of God to the earth. It's what Adam and Eve were called to do. All the systems of the world culture, all those hills, because they're only described as hills opposed to the mountain of God, will fail. They will come to nothing, and the shaking of the world systems will start to challenge, and we have to be ready to be raised up. The church rises up to provide the answers that all those systems will fail to have. Now, you know, I've shared a little bit about what could happen during that shaking period, but it is going to challenge everyone. It will be beyond what we can imagine or think right now. Therefore, we need to have medical answers, financial answers, spiritual answers, governmental answers, societal answers. We need wisdom and knowledge and authority and power demonstrated. You know, the church is, I think it's Ryan Wyatt that says, I think quoting Bobby Connor, I think, says the church is going to be taken out of the corner of the field and placed right in the center of the world stage. Because when everything else starts to fail, when the medical people have no answers to plagues and things that start to take place in the world, people are going to be desperate for healing. Who is going to be able to heal? Us, who can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You know, when all the financial systems of the world get shaken and all the money systems start to fall, where are people going to start to come to? Are people who are flourishing and being blessed because we have supernatural provision and financial transfer to us. We need to be ready to receive all these things and operate in it. Of course, this was God's intention from the beginning, Genesis 1:28. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it. That was God's intention. Not that we rule over people, but we rule over the planet. And we rule over it in spiritual authority from heaven on earth. God intended heaven to be manifested on earth. Adam and Eve missed it. Jesus came to restore it, and he's released that to his people to finish the job. Psalm 8, verse 4, again talking about there, that man was going to be made a little lower than God and crowned with glory and majesty to rule over the works of his hands. And he's going to put all things under his feet. So think of that. Under whose feet is all things going to be placed? Jesus' feet. But who's Jesus' feet? Yeah, because we're his body. He's the head. We're his body. We need to be ready. Now, just do you think, well, is that pie in the sky? But I want to just give you some brief things about what God is doing around the world and what he's done since 120 people in an upper room, empowered by the Holy Spirit and fire, went out into the world. In AD 100, there were 360 non-Christians for every true believer. So a ratio of 360 to 1. Today, the ratio is less than 7 to 1. That means that the kingdom of God is filling the earth. It is. No Christian was officially allowed to live in Nepal until 1960. Now there's a church in every one of the 70 districts. That's where Brother John, you know, is involved in ministering into those sort of areas. And there's over 500,000 believers in a country which there was no church in 1960. That's only 40 years. Well, 50, I suppose. My math, right? Every day, 20,000 Africans come to Christ. 3% of them were Christians in 1900. Now over 50% of that continent are Christians. God is moving. Didn't stop there. In 1900, Korea had no Protestant church, and the country was deemed impossible. Today, 30% of the whole nation is Christians, with 7,000 churches in Seoul alone. Several of them have over 1 million members. Now, God is moving. The kingdom is invading. Jesus said that the kingdom would be like leaven. When you stick it in the dough, it will spread. He also said it would be like a little seed which actually grows into a massive tree, which basically will fill everything. Every day, 50,000 people come to Christ in Asia. Every day. 20,000, 25,000 in China. They reckon that's a very conservative estimate because it's very difficult to estimate it because they're an underground church. But, you know, having talked to some of the leaders of the church movement over there, 60 to 80 million is a conservative estimate that is growing phenomenally in under persecution. God is moving in power. 35,000 people are converted in Latin America every day. In 2006, they had a March for Jesus in Brazil with 3 million people on it. Can you imagine 3 million people? Well, then again, I think in Indonesia, Reinhard Bonnke had 1 million people at one rally. You know, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can imagine or think. And he is doing it. Just because in this country we're only starting to see what he's starting to do doesn't mean that he's not working throughout the earth. He is. This is an interesting statistic. If one out of every six believers reproduce themselves once each year, the whole population will be reached by 2020. So it's one in six of the people in this room just made a disciple every year. We could reach the world in 2020 if that was multiplied right throughout the earth. That makes it possible, even easily possible. That's without sort of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to take place and the river of life which is being held back in the second heaven right now poured out, bringing a massive revival, that's without 20% of the population being harvesters for the harvest. It's like, it is starting to take place. We are winning. Sometimes we can look around and think, well, we're not really winning. We're part of that church. We're part of that worldwide church. It's like we need to actually see that actually what God is doing in other places, he will do here. He's just looking for a people who are willing. The kingdom of God is filling the earth. Daniel chapter 2, verse 34 says, "You continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." This was a prophetic picture, and it was a statue that represented four kingdoms, which were going to be four periods of time where there's going to be kingdoms on earth: Persia, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And in the time of the Roman kingdom, there was a stone that was going to be cut out. Now, that stone is really important to understand who that stone was, what the mountain was that became a great mountain and filled the whole earth, because that is really where, if you follow that through right throughout the Bible, you get a full understanding of what it is and what God is actually doing. Jesus was that stone. And that mountain that was comes from that stone is the kingdom which is going to fill the whole earth. In Daniel 2:44, "In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put to an end to all these kingdoms, and it will itself endure forever, inasmuch as you saw that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands." So God is setting up a kingdom which will not fail. It's like we need. This is what we need to get hold of. This kingdom is not going to be left for another people. It's not going to fail. And it is going to overcome all the other kingdoms. Now that is something which the enemy has fought to take out of our perspective and understanding. Because if we really believe that, we're not going to be sitting around thinking, oh, come and rescue us. We're going to be thinking, come Jesus and empower us to actually see this take place. To see the kingdom of God fill the earth. Daniel 7:13, this is talking about when Jesus was enthroned, when he came through his ascension and was enthroned in heaven. "One like the Son of Man was coming. He came to the Ancient of Days, the Father, and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed." The same kingdom. This is our kingdom. We're part of the kingdom of God, and we need to realize that. In verse 18, "The saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come." Who are the saints? Who will receive the kingdom? We will. And we'll possess it forever and for all ages to come. So whatever's going to take place from this point, we will be involved in that kingdom. It's not going to be another group of people. It is God's people, his saints, the church, who will, for all ages, be involved in expanding that kingdom. Even after Jesus returns and we go into the age to come, this still takes place. There will be no end to the increase of his kingdom. It won't end when Jesus returns and brings a new heaven and a new earth. There's a whole universe, or universes, and all sorts of other things that that kingdom will expand into. So we need to realize that this is for us. Therefore, we need to rise up with this authority. Daniel 7:22, "Until the Ancient of the Day came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one, and the time arrived when saints took possession of the kingdom." And we'll look at that a little bit more later. Isaiah 9:6, we use this scripture Christmas quite often. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders." Okay, who are the shoulders? Us. We're his body. The government rests on the shoulders of his body. That's what the government is representing, the kingdom. "His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. Again, from then on and forevermore. Not just for a short period of time, not just until Jesus returns, but forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Now, where's Jesus now? Ephesians 1:20. Jesus was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Is there anything on top of that? No. So he's above everything. Everything he's above, because he's seated alongside the Father in that place. Every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Again, this is a New Testament saying the same thing. He put all things in subjection under his feet. It's God putting all things in subjection under Jesus' feet. Who are Jesus' feet? Us. And gave him as head over all things to the church. So Jesus is the head of the church. But we are the body of the church. And his body is the fullness of him who fills all in all. So that is going to fill the earth. The fullness of him who fills everything is going to come through his body, the church. So the kingdom of God is going to come through the church in that way. Ephesians 2:19. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints. This is talking about when the old covenant and the new covenant come together and become one. In the early church, they were Jewish people, and then there was a Peter having a vision that, no, this was for everybody and the Gentiles. And then James in Acts 15, I think, basically talks about the tabernacle of David being restored, meaning the gospel was going out to the whole earth, not a restricted people. We know the veil of the temple was rent, so that bottom line is there was an openness for God to meet with everybody. And basically it says this, and are of God's household. This is the same household which was going to be raised up. And have been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So that stone, which was cut out without hands, becomes the cornerstone of the church, of the household of God. He is the cornerstone. You could say he's the foundation, if you like. Now, it says the foundation of the apostles and prophets, but they brought Jesus as the foundation. Paul laid a foundation, which was Christ. He didn't lay himself as a foundation. He laid Christ as the foundation, but apostles laid that foundation. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. So this is no longer a physical temple. This is a spiritual temple in which we are all part of it. We are being joined together and fitted together, stone upon stone, into that temple. And this is the wonderful bit. Into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That this temple, this household of God, God is going to dwell in. We know he dwells in us because we are that temple. But also corporately, when we come together, he starts to dwell and his presence is starting to manifest. And that is what the glory of God being manifested is all about. His presence dwelling with us. 1 Peter 2:4. And coming to him as to a living stone, again Jesus, following through this idea of a stone, which has been rejected by men. It was rejected by the people he came to. Most of them rejected him. There's only 120 of them left in the upper room. All the rest had rejected him. But that stone is a choice and precious stone in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. We're all the priests of God to offer spiritual sacrifices. That's the living sacrifices of our lives. Every day that we present before God for our lives to be used by him to bring glory, to manifest the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. We are the gateways to God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom coming through us because we're living stones. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. And he who believes in him will not be disappointed. If we believe and we catch hold of this, we won't be disappointed. We're not going to be let down. We're not going to lose. We're going to win. But we need to get hold of this, who we are, and being built in these living stones into this temple, in a sense, to actually manifest the kingdom of God. Revelation 1:6, he's made us to be a kingdom of priests to his God and Father, to be him, to be glory and dominion forever. He's made us to be a kingdom of priests. And it's really important to get hold of that. Revelation 5:10, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth. There are people now who are reigning in heaven because they've died and they're in heaven. But we actually reign in heaven and on earth. And we need to reign in both places. Jesus was manifested in both places. We are seated in the heavenly realms. We need to have access to the heavenly realms to bring heaven to earth. That's why God is opening up those doors for heavenly encounters, for throne room encounters, to meet him in heaven, to see him face to face, to actually see what is the will of God in heaven, to see those things which will enable that transfer of wealth and to manifest the kingdom of God, the favor of God, the power of God, the glory of God on earth as it is in heaven. So all the things that Jesus came to do, we have been called to do also. So we're called to reign. The word reign is the word for kingdom. It's an active demonstrating God's kingdom, power and authority on the earth, and literally reigning, ruling over, having spiritual authority. Again, the stone that struck the statue, Daniel 2:35, became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That is the promise, that this stone, Jesus, actually became a great mountain, the kingdom that filled the whole earth. That is going to take place. And it can take place through us if we're willing, if we're prepared for that to happen. So the stone and the mountain are Jesus and his kingdom. The house of the Lord is the church. The kingdom is manifested through the church. That old covenant system, the wineskin of the old way, has been destroyed. So we are now the new wineskin. Literally, it's not a new form of church that's the new wineskin. People have been years, oh, we want a new wineskin of church. We want it to look different. It's us. We are the church. We are the wineskin. We contain the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in us. We are to manifest God's kingdom. That is why it's so different. You know, any attempt to put it back into a structure, a man-made structure, is what the enemy's attempt is to rob his people of the authority and power that we've been given in God's kingdom. To manifest that day to day, you know, not just oh, we come on a Sunday or we come on a Wednesday night or whatever. Actually, no, every day we manifest kingdom authority and power. That's God's kingdom designed for us. So it's not one country, one city, one temple anymore. This is what Luke 5:37, no one puts new wine into an old wineskin, otherwise the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled out. The skins will be ruined and the new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. Every wineskin that the enemy tries to make will come to nothing eventually. It will not be able to contain what God wants to do. But as his people, we can, because we are containers of the presence and power of God, the authority of God's kingdom working through us. Now, linked with the kingdom, and this is the bit I really like, Daniel 4:3, how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation. Everything that's linked with the kingdom is power and supernatural manifestation. It's always been that way. God's kingdom is a supernatural kingdom. Jesus said, my kingdom isn't of this world in a political sense, but it is of this world in a spiritual sense, heaven manifesting on earth, and it does that in signs, wonders, and miracles. Daniel 6:26, for he is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will never be destroyed. His dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs, wonders in heaven and on earth. And this is why we need to see heaven manifested on earth. You know, I love Bill Johnson's books. It's like the whole thing of the kingdom, heaven invading earth. Heaven invading earth through his people. We are the gateways for the kingdom of heaven to manifest on earth. And it's through signs and wonders and miracles that it takes place. It's not through wise and persuasive words. The world has had enough words of religion. All they bring is death and destruction. But the Spirit brings life. and it brings it in fullness and in power. John 14:12, this is what we need to get hold of. Truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. This is Jesus' mandate to his disciples. It's his mandate to us. It's the kingdom authority mandate that was given to Adam and Eve. I don't want to go back to New Testament Christianity. I want to go back to the garden. I want to get my inheritance back from what Adam and Eve lost. That means a supernatural manifestation of things which is way beyond what happened in the New Testament. And Jesus will remain in heaven, and we're going to look at this next week, I think, until the restoration of all things. So until that is restored, Jesus will not return. Matthew 10:7, this is what he called his disciples to do. Go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. We need to receive freely of the kingdom. We need to be overflowing of God's kingdom power and authority in our lives, and freely receiving that, giving it out, manifesting that. You know, when I was on my fast, the thing that God spoke to me about was a phrase about living in and living out the manifest presence of God, the glory of God, every day of our lives. We live in the manifest presence of God because he dwells within us, in our spirit, and we can engage with him and know him there. And in the heavenly realms. But also then we have to live out that manifest presence. The glory of God is no good if it's locked up in us. It needs to be manifested through us. Our spirit, through our soul, out through our body. Literally so we start to shine. You know, and that can be seen figuratively that we start to shine. But actually I believe we're going to start to shine. There are going to be manifestations of shining. And I've seen people glowing. You know, actually seeing people glowing with the presence of God, and the world is going to see that and going to be drawn to it. Paul's message, 1 Corinthians 2:4, was not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. You know, when everything starts to get shaken in the world, words are not going to be enough for people. They're going to need to see the truth demonstrated, to see God's kingdom manifested. We've got to be ready. You know, we've got to get ready. We've got to be willing to let God prepare us. That means getting rid of all the rubbish, all the stumbling blocks, anything which is going to be a hindrance to him moving in our lives. Even now the enemy will try and put stumbling blocks in our way to trip us up, idols in our hearts, try and make us hurt and upset and disappointed. And all sorts of stuff kicks off because we're ready for a breakthrough. And he's trying to intimidate people to back off. But we're not going to back off. We're not going to back off. We're going forward and we're going to move forward. We're going to get ready. We need to be hungry and thirsty to pursue God. In what God is doing right now, you cannot be hungry and thirsty enough. Get everything going. Soak in it. Get every bit of prayer that's going. Go forward for everything you can go forward for. I know some of you do. But keep going. Because the more power and anointing that comes, it doesn't really matter really what it's for, to be honest. It's just get under the anointing. You know, it's like, I try and think, do I fit into that category? It's like, yeah, I'm sure I do. And go as much as I can, because at the end of the day, it's like God wants to fill us and fill us and fill us, and he wants to equip us and change us. It's like, let's be really hungry. There is more to come. So let's really prepare for that. He wants to prepare us and equip us and empower us to be sons of God. The whole world is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. People who are truly manifest in joint heirs with Jesus to all the power and authority of God's kingdom. He is looking for people who are willing to say, that's us. That is us. We want to step up. We want to be ready. We're willing to be prepared to be superheroes. Literally, it's like some of these things on TV, you know, I like science fiction and stuff. Literally, some of the things that these guys are doing, those will be manifested and are being manifested through the church right now. Some of the superpowers that people have, being able to see in the realm of the spirit, being transported here and there, all those type of things, seeing power coming from people's hands, healing, all those type of things, we're going to start to see some of those things manifested. I won't go any further, else we'll be distracted on that one. But I want to share, I've shared this before, but I want to share it and finish with this. as a church, we have hopes and dreams which line up with this vision that God is calling us to have. And some of you will recognize some of these. Some of you will think, yeah, that's for me. Some of you will have your own dreams and visions. As a church, our whole thing is we do not have a vision that we want people to fit into. We have a vision which says, as you manifest each of your visions, we will be whatever we will be. You will shape who we are when you manifest what God has called you to be and who you are. So we need to have your dreams as part of this dreams. You know, these are the things that I've sort of written down. I put 21 down, but I could probably go through a whole load more than that. But I've left it to you to fill in the gaps and do even more. So these are some of the things. We see ourselves moving in miraculous power in signs and wonders and miracles. Amen? Amen. We see ourselves experiencing the wine and the fire and the wind of the Spirit. That is the latter glory and was going to be more than what was in the beginning. So whatever happened in the New Testament, we're going to see more. We see ourselves living as priests and kings before God and men. We see ourselves receiving an end time transfer of wealth. We see ourselves exercising authority in the heavenly realms, releasing salvation on earth. It's absolutely key. We see ourselves so flowing in the glory of God that people near us will be convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. John 16 says that. The Holy Spirit convicts people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We just need to be so filled with Him and His glory that people either run from us or they just fall on their knees and says, what must I do to be saved? That's what we're looking for. That's what happened in past revivals. It's like, and we're going to see even greater than that. Because I believe in these last times, we're going to see every revival there's ever been all rolled up and multiplied to see an end time harvest. So every mantle of authority and power which has ever been released, you can claim it. You know, it's like I've been to the throne room in heaven. I've been to the mantle room and I've seen all the mantles lined up. There's rows and rows and rows of them. Some of those are mantles of some of the great people who've died in the past and no one's picked up their mantle. And some of them are new and fresh mantles of authority and power which are going to be released on the earth in such a way that it's going to go way beyond anything that's ever been seen. And even the things that have been seen, you know, if you've read God's Generals and you've read both of those books of God's Generals, you'll see some of the awesome things that God did. Now, I know a lot of them messed up, some of the guys, because they weren't pure and holy necessarily. That's why God wants to prepare the church to be able to handle power and authority in these days and not abuse it and mess it up. That's why the stumbling blocks are being gathered. That's why angels are being sent out to be gatherers. You know, those angels have been here since, I think, September, October last year. I've seen them gathering, and they've started to gather things out of people. That is going to increase dramatically as we go forward. We see ourselves living. Yeah.
Would you say that Todd Bentley is a prime example?
Yeah, I would say Todd Bentley was a man God mightily used in power and authority, but was not pure. And it's like, when we look at a man like that, we don't judge him. We don't judge David. Say, well, we shouldn't have David's Psalms in the book. We actually say, that could have been me. And it's like he was on a high profile situation. It's like for us and what God's doing, God is giving us an opportunity of being prepared and having our hearts holy and purified and refined so that when those things come, we don't succumb to the temptations and the pressures that come on, but we've got around us a whole group of people who are prepared and are together moving forward together. Because I don't believe it's going to be at one man. It's going to be a whole generation of people who are going to be prepared and operating in the power and authority of God. It's like, you know, God uses men, and I've been blessed by so many people that God has used in the past. But actually, we're not looking to them. We're looking to God, what He's doing through them. We're looking, even what Mike's doing here and stuff, we're not looking to Mike Bryant. We're looking to what God's doing through him. You know, God uses people, but He can use all of us. And I believe we're going to be raised up. Now, we see ourselves living in the dual realms of heaven on earth. We have to live in those dual realms to manifest heaven on earth. We see ourselves operating in nature miracles with many angelic visitations. Now, we're going to see so much more in the angelic. Ministers of winds and flames of fire, we're going to see it more and more. See ourselves living under a constantly open heaven. We really have to see that. A constantly open flow, heaven to earth, heaven to earth, earth to heaven, all we go up, we come down. We go and we bring it down. You know, I'll do some teaching on that one day. We see ourselves fulfilling our destiny. Yeah, you need to see, you have a destiny to be fulfilled. And we're going to fulfill it. We're going to help everyone to fulfill theirs. Now, you see, what do you see? What do you see in your own life? I've heard some of you start to see that we need to start adding to this. And I want to add to this. I want not to have 21 dreams and visions. I want 121. As I want all of you to come forward with at least one or more. And I know God has been showing you some of them. And he's been giving you revelation of some of them. So give me, let me have them. Let me write them and add them to that list. So they can be our dreams. Because it's not just, well, I've got a dream. You know, it's like, you know, Martin Luther King, I had a dream. It's like, you know, I've got a dream. I've got loads of dreams and visions. But actually, we need to embrace them together. And we need to embrace your dreams and visions together. And it might be for things you think, well, that doesn't really fit in. It will fit in because it's you who has that dream and vision that needs to be fulfilled. You know, we will change and be shaped by those dreams and visions. Amen? Amen. So let's be really open. And I want you to come with those, write them out and bring them to me because I want to add them to these lists, all right? Amen? Now, I haven't got really any space to lay hands on anybody, have I? But I will want to pray because I do believe God wants us to embrace who we are as his children in the kingdom, authority, and power of God. So I just want to pray and release that over you right now. Father, I just want to pray right now. Holy Spirit, just come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth, through each of these lives here, as it is in heaven, I pray that you'll take each person to live in the dual realms of heaven on earth. Open heavenly realms for each person in this room right now, so that we'll start to see the dreams and the vision and the destiny and the scroll that you've written with our destiny in heaven, that we will start to see it so it can be outworked here on earth. That you will pour out your Spirit, baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire. Equip us with signs, wonders, and miracles. Let your glory just fill us right now. Just fill us with your glory right now. Just fill us, Lord God. Let your glory manifest in this room. Manifest your presence in our lives, Lord. Fill us to overflowing with your presence and power, your grace. And your love, Lord God, we're hungry and we're thirsty for more. Just pour out more. Pour out more. Your kingdom come, Lord. Gather all the stumbling blocks out of our lives, all the idols, all the mindsets, demolish them.
Yes, Lord.
Anything that stops us believing and receiving our full inheritance as your people, every false doctrine, every wrong teaching, everything the enemy has sown into the church, which has hindered and restricted and stopped us rising up as your people, seeing your kingdom fill the earth, Lord, I would come with a sword to demolish those strongholds and those lies, to declare the church, the truth, your church. The mountain of the house of the Lord will be raised up above all the other hills and mountains, and that whole world will stream to it. Lord God, we declare it, but we want to be that people. We just pray, Holy Spirit, just empower us to go from this place today with a new revelation and hope in our hearts, and use us freely we receive, freely we give.